Well, a very good evening to you out there, and thank you for tuning into Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry this evening. A much change evening. The weather not playing ball with us this evening. Lots of rain. Lucky I got into Tralee at all the reports of this heavy rain and the whole lot. But things are good. Everybody's happy. Games won and everything, and so everything is right in the world at the moment. Donal Barry with you until 8 o'clock this evening, and I suppose what a difference a week makes. Those two fantastic wins, of course, by our Kerry senior footballers and our Kerry senior ladies, of course, at the weekend. What a fantastic result that was as well. And on tonight's show, we look back at both of those games in the first hour in the company of our panel here. So listen, give us a call, 0667123666, or text or WhatsApp us on 083-300-3300. And believe it or not, the WhatsApps are kind of quiet tonight, so obviously we must have had a win. It's on fire when we lose or in danger of losing, but certainly tonight. So listen, if you have a comment out there, give us a good comment in as well, and we'll read it out. We really appreciate the time, of course, you take to listen to us. First of all, we're delighted with the numbers every week listening to us, and we really appreciate your texts and comments as well. And of course, it's great to get a chance to talk to you at games as well. Be surprised, some of us being queues going in gates, and more people jumping queues and parking in zones they shouldn't park. We'll discuss that as well, maybe. But I was in Port Leash yesterday. I was absolutely surprised about the amount of knowledgeable listeners we have there tuning in. So big well done to you all. Now, also congratulations to Mark O'Connor this evening. He played his 100th AFL professional game at the weekend as well. It's amazing, 100 already. We can still remember him winning a minor with Kerry. And I'll have a member of an AFL club coming in just after 7 o'clock, and we're going to be talking about the chances of setting up an AFL club here in Kerry. Can you imagine the amount of comments we're going to get in now with a pathway and send them all off down to Australia? And after 7:30, our Women in Sport this evening feature, we talk to Marina Barry, her story, 10 All-Ireland winning medals, 5 All-Star awards, still playing, I believe, as well, certainly playing up to last year anyway, Marina, with her beloved Austin Sacks around the corner. And that show comes thanks to Joe McGill and Connie Broderick. That's about 7:30 onwards. But first, we will start with the biggest news there is. Kerry, unlikely as hell to qualify for the quarterfinals last week. And there we go. A week later, Liam, we shouldn't have bothered worrying at all. All is right in the world.
A week is a long time in politics.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a long time in football too, yeah.
I say when Jack O'Connor got home last night, and he obviously knew the Cork result well in advance of that, he must have been really pleased with himself.
I think, like, coming off the field with the performance that they had, and then definitely getting hearing that Cork were after doing us a big favour, because that week of a break, you know, it will stand to Kerry, because you know, you see from the draw today, that was going to be a minefield. And not only that, even if we got over next week, you were hoping you'd pick up no injuries to go on to the following week. No, so we're into the money side of the business now, you could say, from now on. And that break will be ideal for Kerry.
Mm-hmm. John, the one thing that Kerry have been, I suppose, given out about is that we've been lethargic, we've been slow, we've been monotonous. None of that on display last Sunday.
No, Donald, it was they were very sharp. You know, listening to people before the game yesterday and watching Louth warm up behind on the pitch outside the main pitch, there was a kind of I'm not saying a fear, but they were wondering what Kerry team would turn up, and Louth having ran Cork and Mayo to 2 points and a pint, you know. There was even people talking if Cork win and we lose, we'll be out of the championship. But like, Kerry hit the ground running. Their energy levels were up. You know, there was, I think Dermot Connor set the tone in the first quarter from the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. You know, he attacked, kicked 3 great points. The Clifford, Shawnee Shea, you know, it was a very workmanlike performance, and they didn't ease up. They kept driving on, and there was a pace about them yesterday.
Go back to that point, they didn't ease up. I mean, in other days, in other eras, in other years, you go 10, 15 points clear, you kind of mind yourself and you wind down. Why was it important for Kerry to keep going yesterday?
I think they need to send out a message yesterday.
Yeah.
I think they did, and they certainly did that. You know, we've said all along, you get to the business end, you get to Croke Park, we're there now, no matter how you get there. But I think this game, the last one before the quarter final, it was very important. And, you know, as I said, Louth had been performing very well against Cork and Mayo. How good were they? The question marks about ourselves, we certainly answered them emphatically, and right to the very end they kept working, they kept going, and even they're talking in the field, you could hear them. I was on the terrace side, yeah. You could hear them encouraging, go for it, take him on, shoot, you know. That was there yesterday, and a fantastic performance. But against, now we'll have to say though, a very poor Louth team, like, very poor.
Were they poor or they made look poor, Liam?
A bit of both, Donald. but I would agree
like
with
they were still the team personnel wise anyway,
and
Mayo, Cork.
But listening even to the load supporters before the game, and they were kind of happy if they could hold us to 4 or 5 points. No, that was their attitude and stuff like that. And I don't know, was there a bit of awe there with Kerry? And you know, that's something we always kind of preached, you know, that the green and gold jersey, that teams fear the green and gold jersey. And for a while there, we were looking at it and we were saying teams don't fear us anymore. But I think that's where our marker sitting on markers yesterday is going to be huge. But from the word go, you could see from the warm up, I was watching the Kerry warm up, you know, it was intense, it was one on one stuff. It was basically...
It's a very simple warm-up, though.
Very simple warm-up,
straight away, you get the ball into your hand. It's one-on-one. Came out and I saw...
They had bodies behind. You could see the way they were going to play.
He had a cone for everybody.
But that's the first time I've seen Kerry do that now this year. Mm-hmm. To know that we had our forwards taking on our defenders one-on-one. And not only that, Jack was kicking in the ball. Mm-hmm. To know, you saw there was a buzz there from the word go. I suppose, look, like I said, we're in the business side of the championship now. Kerry went out with a mission yesterday from the word go. We were off the mark.
Yeah.
Look, I was above at the Cork match, like yourselves, and I just thought there was no big difference from the Mayo match. We were lethargic. We were, you know, everyone was kind of saying, look, Cork were better than what we thought. Our body language, it wasn't there for the Cork match. It was there yesterday. Mm-hmm. The minute David Clifford, you know, you could see him, he was egging everyone on. You said Dermot O'Connor with the points that he kicked. Last week, we were turning around and passing that ball backwards, and we were waiting for David Clifford to do something. Yesterday, boys took responsibility, and that's what we need.
And I think another thing, Liam, Paddy Clifford moved to the 40 yesterday.
Big difference there.
And we've been saying this for quite some time. Paddy, like, when he drills that ball in, his vision is something else. But Shawnee excelled inside, like.
Did, yeah.
You know, I mean, Shawnee was on a mission yesterday. He kicked a pint from the terrace side. A superb score at the very start. I'm putting down a marker here against these fellas. And the other thing is, in Sam Mulroy, I was watching him yesterday in the first 10 minutes. Two balls went in, Jason Foley got the body in, got the hand in, and suddenly what did Mulroy do? He was back in his own half back line. He was no threat back there. I think our matchups and our their big men were nullified, and we were well on top.
We quietened them in the first 15 minutes.
All that well and good, but I mean, God, was I to say a match at all? I mean, for the first 4 or 5 minutes, Loud walked up the field. I thought they created a lot of chances, and they missed three horrendous wides, 21 yards out,
and
a goal chance. So there was an early threat. But then when Kerry went 7-2, 8-2, 9-2, obviously it was on. The setup by Loud yesterday, watching it, it was absolutely amazing. I was watching the wing for number 10. He was played out from just running up and down, not engaging at all in any football. But to think that a team can just so easily give up the kick out and all go back inside and park the bus, it's awful stuff, really, isn't it?
It is, and you know, that's a kind of a game. Tyrone could, they had the players for it. Lout doesn't have the players. No, they don't have it's all right to fill your defence, but you need to have forwards. You know, and that's where they struggled yesterday. You know,
they
had opportunities, but they just couldn't put the ball over the bar or punish Kerry when they got into places. And I think when we turned them over, then we were using the foot pass yesterday. We weren't using the couple of solos and passing it lateral or sideways. You know, we were using the foot pass, like John said. Straight up, when Paddy used to get it, it was head up and it was a direct pass into the forwards, and we were able to get the ball up before they were able to set up their blanket at times.
And we had the ability to kick points from 45 yards, you know, David Clifford, Shawnee Shea, Paddy, Dermot Connor, and you know, you can have 13, 15 men back. But the way to beat it is long range kicking.
Exactly.
And it was so frustrating for Loud. They were defending in numbers, but we were still 8 or 10 points up.
And even when we were passing the ball lateral over and back, we were still doing it at speed.
We were, yeah.
You know, at times you can be doing that very slowly, but we were attacking the gap. So everything in that side of it was good yesterday.
We were 1-16 on before the game ever started, so we should listen to the bookies, should we? To be fair about it.
Bookies never wrong.
The bookies have said them wrong. But we were in the queue going in, and John's point is very valid, because you meet all shades of opinion and the whole lot, and it was very varied. I mean, okay, there was the people saying, look, this is Loud, we're going to hammer them. There were the people saying, you know, this could be our Waterloo here today, we won't get the result that we need. There was a real fear that midfield wouldn't get going again. Midfield got going from the word goal, Liam, didn't they?
They did, yeah. And I agree. But there was a big Kerry support up there yesterday. And I think the reason for that was we were very, we didn't know what kind of Kerry
team.
It
wasn't on television and you could only listen to Ambrose.
You could only listen.
And I think most people went to Port Leash to listen to Ambrose in Port Leash live.
And there was that fear, like, that with the way Louth were playing and the way Kerry were playing, we didn't know what kind of a Kerry would show up. Mm-hmm. But thank God we got the real Kerry yesterday to put us back on line. But yeah, it's
talks about midfield though. I mean, like, those lads are under pressure since we started this show here after the first league game. You know, people every night of the week it comes in. We don't have the same midfield. David Moran is gone. The world is over. But yesterday was the first signs for me anyway that we have the players. We knew we had the players. But they really stepped up to Mark Dearman O'Connor yesterday, particularly in the first half, in the first 20 minutes. I mean, he kicked three massive points from play, as long range as David Clifford was kicking him, really onto the ball. Jack Barry, I mean, the first ball that he won, he was nearly cleaned out. He drove straight through, which was great to see as well. That, for their confidence alone this evening, you know, that must be great.
It is, yeah. And like you said there, Jack Barry, when he got the ball, he drove straight through. That's the first time Jack Barry has been doing that. It's the first time we've seen Dermot O'Connor kind of, you know, throw off the shackles and have a cut at the posts and draw attention. Because what was happening was they were drawing so much attention, eventually David got on the ball. Next thing, David had 1-2 kick before Lout even knew it. Yeah. You know? So that's what we need. We need our midfielders not only to be in the middle of the field, but to have an input going forward and defensively. And
I think what with the Kerry supporters, you know, the reaction and the reception that Jack Barry got going off.
Yeah.
It was very warm, wasn't it?
It is, yeah.
It was genuine, warm, yes. It was sincere.
And it was saying, well done, Jack, and the job done. And I thought that was a statement by the Kerry supporters.
It was like, we're not Facebook warriors. We're here, we paid our 25 euros and we really appreciate your effort. Yeah, absolutely. And I thought that, obviously it was eclipsed, of course, by David coming off the field afterwards.
And Gardaí Scots and all that.
Absolutely, it was amazing to watch. Come here, it was a Kerry to behold, because I suppose all good things about it. I mean, the attacking, the flair, the ability to think, but the goals were fantastic as well, weren't they?
Yeah, well worked.
Yeah.
You know, every one of them well worked. And even David's first goal, if you watched it back last night, the run that he made, he was, the minute he gave that first pass, he wanted that before it was going to hit the back of the net. He was the fella. And that kind of set the whole thing for the scene for the game. And the rest of the goals were the same. They were all intelligent passing. You know, but like we've been saying here all along, and I think why we've been frustrated, you know, talking about it even, we know they're good footballers, you know, and it was just to get it out of them.
And for the first goal, Darren Mine's turnover, like,
the work rate.
We have been lacking that, you know, we don't know what's going on in training, but like, you know, as people talking to people coming out, then, like, you know, it's loud while it's a marker. You know, we need to repeat it.
Yeah, exactly. And look, we can only beat what's put out in front of us.
That's all, yeah.
Many a night we just talk about the games here and we're critical, whereas tonight it's nice to be sitting here and praising these guys.
Right. Praising these guys, we have a blank chair. Dinny, if you're out there, I hope you didn't get drowned in the flood coming down around the street, because we have a seat.
He's still celebrating.
Let's talk about the Cork celebrations for a while. John Kindy, while I'd say it wasn't a total shock, and I mean that sincerely, but when the text came through and Mayo were going 4 points clear, 5 points clear, 6 points clear, at that stage, it was over in my head. It was waste of time. It was gone. We were going to go back to Clonmel the following. How did Cork turn that game around?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, when Tommy Conroy got the goal, I think, you know, 6 points, you'd say, Mayo through. But, you know, they made a few changes. Rory Dean got injured. I think Stephen Sherlock coming in, and Sherlock got 1-5.
He played very well off the bench against us.
You know, he's a kicker, and he's one of the guys that went for it. But I think that this is a different Cork team. I think Kevin Welsh has his fingerprints about their defensive display, and you know they have a resilience about them. And Jack mentioned it last night in the interview that it wasn't a surprise, because they did very well against us down in Parky Cave.
It was 10 out of 10 for Jack. I mean, he didn't even talk about his own team or his own performance. It was straight away fair play to Cork, what a performance. The one worrying aspect of the Cork game, and you're about the defence, I mean, they did leave Mayo go ahead, but from a Mayo perspective, they didn't score in the last 19 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I think it was 1-6 in our score. And that's a
huge turnaround with two teams, you know, that are
not the Mayo that played in St. Clarny anyway. It's a different team altogether. Yeah.
But the one thing about the whole weekend, Donald, and we'd have to say it, like, is, and I'm often critical of the GA and the structures, but this
you
system.
Take the word off and out of that.
You know, it was a super Sunday yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Coming back in the car, listening to I had RT radio on, and the two games, Tyrone and Westmeath and Armagh and Galway. What value, like,
mm-hmm.
and and Westmeath, how unlucky they were, do you know? But look, what a finish. Apart from the Clare game on Saturday night against Derry, you know, there was something to play for in all the other matches.
And even the Telton Cup is lively,
yeah,
as well.
In fairness, yeah. No, yeah. And it was, I think this weekend kick-started the football championship, yeah, in fairness.
Jeez, lads, you're as happy as the hurling game. Things are flying for us. Evening, lads. Firstly, it was a credit to the Kerry supporters who travelled in large numbers yesterday. Loud were limited, but Kerry have upped their performance all over the field. Just on David Clifford, his talents transcend sporting rivals, and the whole GA community should treasure this fella, as likes of may not be seen again. That regards, and that's from Neil Ferter, of course, in Dunor in County Meath. Good evening to you, Neil. Of course, Meath had a good win. Of course, they're in the Telton Cup semi-final, probably booking their own way into the All-Ireland through the back door. Just dwell down on the David Clifford point, because I had another comment, similar but different, as the man says. Similar but different. Here it is. Same idea. Can parents please stop sending children into the field after David Clifford at this stage? Surely every child in Kerry should have an autograph or a selfie. I think when a player has to leave a game ahead of time just to get away, it's an indictment of those people thinking that not only is he a good footballer, but a great babysitter. It's kind of funny, it's kind of comedy, but I suppose is that just the star quality that you're drawn?
It is, yeah. But when I was looking down yesterday, and the guys around me, there was guys from Louth around us, and when they took him off, my Louth was turned around to me, he said, I'm going to get €10 back, because I came to see David for the whole game. Fellas come to see David from all over the country. A lot of the youngsters that were down in front of the dugout that time, they weren't Kerry support.
There were low jerseys,
and there was a lot of Laois people around there as well, genuine GA supporters, youngsters, and they wanted to meet David Clifford. And David Clifford, whatever way you can turn it upside down or inside out, no, he's like the Beatles. You know, the crowd that came, the minute he came off the game yesterday, the youngsters just, they were like bees. They just came around him, and you know, it was a kind of a laugh. And in one way, it's a pity that he couldn't stay and kind of sign a few autographs, that he had to be rushed off to the dressing room.
But into context of people that weren't there, I mean, David Clifford came off maybe about 10 or 15 minutes before ahead of time. He came over, he had to sit in the stand, because that's where the sub sat. And as soon as he sat there, kids began to flock through the stand, down droves. He was like the Pied Piper.
Yeah, they all came to him.
And I suppose for a while, I mean, there was 10 or 20, before long there was 200 or 300 of them. And then all of a sudden, I suppose people were looking across, and I know there were guards of security or what, they were filled with yellow jackets anyway. I don't know, Liam would know what they looked like. And they bounced away down, and they took him out. There was no malice or threat or anything to it. It was funny, it was in good humour. David was in good humour, he was a good lad. But he still had to come off, because had he been on the field when the game was over at full time,
he'd still be there.
He'd be as late as any longest.
He'd be still there, yeah. But it just shows like the support that he'd it's unbelievable. But just to watch him is unbelievable as well. The stuff he did yesterday, you would just sit back and you'd kind of take a gasp yourself. And we're so used to watching him now, and you'd still be going, wow, why did he do that? His first point, that was 50 yards, 55 yards out.
Effortless,
and
really.
Effortless, yeah.
The goal, the way he put it away, Liam.
Yeah, and even the penalty. You wouldn't see it in the World Cup.
No. The other good thing yesterday, and I was in the middle of loud supporters, like at half time, the field was full of kids.
Mm-hmm. That was nice to see, yeah.
It was brilliant. I think it's something in the GA. Being taught to stay off the pitch.
And in theory, to that, right, totally right. Obviously, it's brilliant, and seeing it and seeing it in the hurling. Speaking to some of the subs afterwards, they weren't too impressed about it.
They were inside in the middle of them, trying to do a warm up,
and then you're trying to blast the ball and the passing and all that.
Yeah,
so there is a time for it, I get it. But no, it was fantastic.
It's great, it's their day and the sun. I mean, it was a loud speak day yesterday against the All Ireland champions, and like even with David, and that, you know, he's the pin up by Gaelic football. Isn't it brilliant to have?
Yeah.
And you know, we're lucky to have him. The GA is lucky to have him, because he's a superstar, in fairness.
Absolutely. And we're lucky to have both of you here this evening as well. We'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're listening to Terrace Talk until 8 o'clock this evening. Of course, we'll be talking to you all the way till 7 o'clock. Plenty of comments coming in, and I will get through the whole lot. But I want to change the topic just for a second, because Kerry didn't have just one fantastic win at the weekend. They had a second one, and I might argue this one was a really fantastic win. 2-8 Kerry, 1-9 Dublin. And of course, it was the opening round of the TG Cahir Championship, of course, for senior ladies. Louise Murray Hurtig again, 1-6 she scored. I mean, we talk about David Clifford in the the same breath, but she is the David Clifford of the ladies' world, without doubt. Not the David Clifford of the ladies' world is Dan Kearney, of course, but I don't know how to segue you in here, Dan, but Dan Kearney was above what
you know, I never thought I'd be mentioned the same breath as David Clifford anyway, so
absolutely.
I'll go with that
one. Yeah, it's a plus. Come here, it was a fantastic win. I mean, we were all watching it and we were all in awe of it. But before we drill down on the game itself as a spectacle, as a championship encounter, as a fight, as a battle, it was certainly up there with one of the best games in years.
It was, yeah. I mean, it was full-on championship, intensity, plenty tackling going in, plenty verbals, you name it. The game had a bit of everything. And, I thought it was a game that Kerry stood up. Like, I mean, they were going into the Lions' den in a sense of Parnell Park up to the Dubs, and they gave them nothing stuff. But Kerry stood up, and I thought particularly Emma Costello, I'd say, centre back there, I thought she was absolutely outstanding. In fairness to her, like, okay, she saw the sin bin there for the second half for the period, but she kind of laid the foundation that the thou shalt not pass. Mm-hmm. That sort of a caper, and Kerry mixed it. They could mix the steel with a bit of silk as well. And you mentioned Louise there earlier, and she was absolutely outstanding. I was looking at a clip actually on Twitter last night. Ray Boyne there, he's an analyst there. He was involved with the Dubs men years ago, and he kind of highlighted her. Left and right leg, dummy hop. Kind of show the ball on the left, dummy hop on the right, and pass it on. She's just a brilliant player, and she's so vital to Kerry. But just going back to your initial point, Donald. A fantastic win by Kerry, and a real championship performance where they stood up to everything that the Dubs threw at them.
Mm-hmm. And of course the Dubs did throw plenty at them, and Jonathan Murphy, of course, Carol, I mean, I suppose a lot of people, the referee, poor ref always gets hit, but I mean, to be fair to him, he left it become a championship battle, didn't he?
He left it become a championship battle, and I suppose both sets of management were kind of given out about him in a sense. Like, I suppose if you were going by the letter of law, if somebody was analysing or having a look at him and all that kind of stuff, there would be false, in fairness. Like, if you look at the rules of Gaelic, of ladies Gaelic football anyway, he kind of went against him at times, but it kind of helped the game in a sense that there was a great flow to it. Like, there was nothing, there was no standing back, everybody was going in hard and all that. But like, Jonathan, I suppose, look, it's kind of an anomaly really in ladies' Gaelic football. Like, do you let the game flow, do you go by the rules? If you go by the rules, Jeannie Mackers, you'd have no game.
Yeah.
In a sense, like, I know you have to go by the rules, but like, the whistle would be blown every 5 seconds, like, because there is a physicality in ladies' Gaelic football, and it is slightly, it is outside the rules if you read it by going by the rule book. Like, but look, I thought overall Jansen did a good enough job. Like, I know he made a few dodgy calls, but
I think he did too. I mean, make a few dodgy calls, but it's like you said, he kind of allowed it to be the physical encounter, and the players, I suppose, they're trailing so hard and they're moving so fast, and maybe it's the rules maybe need to be kind of updated or downed.
I suppose the only issue I'd have with him, I suppose he's been two Kerry players, but like say for example the Dublin centre half back Martha Byrne, like she was committing foul after foul. And she was left on. Martha was getting away with murder. He wasn't putting her in the bin. Like, so that's that kind of a thing. Like, even if you're going to let a game flow, you need a bit of consistency as well.
Kerry, of course, they ran into a handy lead, I suppose, 2-8 to 1-4. I mean, they were flying away, I suppose. But Dublin did come back. I mean, it was as if Kerry kind of turned off the engine for a bit and kind of tried to hold ball and play a ball and knock the clock down. And Dublin were getting points, and Hannah Tyrrell was knocking over a couple of points here and there. And Dublin brought it all the way back to 2. I mean, those last couple of minutes, I'd imagine they were exceptionally nervy on the Kerry management.
Oh, I'd imagine so. Like, I mean, if you look at it, Kerry's last score was in the 37th minute, and they had to hold out in for the rest of the game. Dublin got 5 in a row, like, and we're pressing all the time. But that was the nature of the game, I suppose. In a way, Kerry put so much into it in the first half, that they were bound to find the legs in the second half. And of course, there was going to be a bounce from Dublin. I'd say they got a bit of a roasting at halftime from the management. They went out there with a kind of a renewed physicality, if you want to call it that. Went at Kerry with everything, and look, you're in Dublin, you're in Parnell Park, there's going to be a response. But I thought Kerry stood up to it very well, and particularly in the last couple of minutes when the Dubs were really, really coming at them, I thought Kerry showed great discipline at the back that time. Okay, they gave away a free, but the free went in. Lorraine came out with the ball, Lorraine Brennan. And she took a couple of tackles and she got the free. And like the old wise head, she put the ball on the ground. Calm it down, lads.
Absolutely. I remember, yeah, very calmly put it on one hand and walked away and left it there. Job done, yeah. Clock ticking. Come here, we're running out of time, but one player I think needs a good mention is Ciara Butler and her fine penalty save.
Yeah, fantastic save. Like, Ciara is a player, really, I suppose, look, the lads, they had a fair, like, they had to choose between Mary Ellen Bulger and they had to choose between Ciara. And they had a fair, it was a fair old tussle between two of them, because Ciara had, Mary Ellen Bulger had an outstanding National League. And Ciara was injured for a while. She came back in. You know, it was 50-50 in a sense, like, but she's really proven herself. That save, you know, that save really turned the game, because what happened after that was, okay, Dublin got a point, but then Kerry came down after that and they got a goal from Shifra O'Shea. And that really, you know, only for that save, I think the Dubs would have been back to one. Was it one or two? That's it. And, you know, you were game on. But she got down low to the left. I think there's very few keepers in ladies football that would have got down the way she got to save the ball and knock it out as well, knock it out of danger. So kudos to Ciara Butler, who I thought overall, her game in general was very good as well, Donald.
Fair play. Come here, Dan. Final question, really important question. Do you like chalk ices?
I love chalk ices. I suppose I grew up with them, and you know, but see, the thing about the chalk ice, Donald, is how do you eat them? Do you eat them with the chocolate on, or do you take off the chocolate?
Well, I don't know. Not enough people are eating them anyway. Which anyway, yeah, it was one of the big questions above in Portlaoise yesterday. There was no chalk ices anymore. It was nearly the second talking point to how good David Clifford was. Come here, listen, Dan. Thanks very much, and we'll be in touch again with Kerry's next out. When is Kerry's next outing in St. Clair?
Yeah, they have a week off now. The Dublin are playing Cavan in the next game, then Kerry entertain Cavan inside National Stack Park on, I think it's on the Saturday at 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday the 1st.
It's an early season.
Yeah, it's an early start, like, you know, so it'd be great if people came on and got behind them, because just like, the one thing about this Kerry team, they're a very, very entertaining team to watch.
Well, you said it. That'll be this week's promo. Dan Kearney, thanks very much. That, of course, is Dan Kearney, and of course you can follow him in the Kerryman. He follows the Kerry ladies everywhere, and of course he trains them as well. And not too long ago he was stuck in the county board with him, and he's PRO, and certainly knows his stuff. Lots of comments coming in. I need to get to them now as well, and I'll get back to the chalk ice one as well, because a comment came in there about the chalk ice, and I said I wouldn't ask these two boys in front of me because they don't seem to be like chalk ice men at all. Hello lads, is it time to stop all this beating around the bush and just go play the All-Ireland final between Kerry and Dublin? From Dennis. Well, Dennis is, you know, fair play, the two biggest wins of the weekend. Will they be the two teams in the final?
Well, they're the foreign teams at the moment. They're putting up huge scores, and
sure, you always loved an old bash against Dublin in the final, John,
yeah,
didn't you?
Wouldn't it be a nice one to look forward to.
Congratulations to Kerry senior ladies and men's management on good wins of the weekend, and continue good luck. And wouldn't it be nice to see both teams win All Ireland's up in the Kingdom, or up the Kingdom, that's Dermot and Margaret, and down there into Sis, great supporters of ladies football and men's football too, of course. Fabulous game by the ladies on Saturday evening, unbelievable heart and skill in the face of such a tough game. They gave it their all. Well done, ladies. And that's from Eileen. Thank you, Eileen. A kind of different question that I'm going to aim this one at you, Liam, because you're just a better singer, I'd imagine. This text is not directly related to football, but every time we go to a match, our national anthem is played. I wonder, are we the only country who shows such disrespect to the anthem when the roaring starts before the anthem finishes? Just wonder if the panel have any comments. Apart from, it's great to see Kerry playing such great football yesterday, kicking, scoring from distance and completely negating the blanket defence. And that regards from Mike. I'm kind of with Mike a small bit on that. I mean, people get fierce carried away 10 seconds before the end.
Excitement, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, John, you remember the day when you were standing beside your men during it?
And
you might get a thump off Roman before, because you wouldn't be expecting it, and you'll get a thump off the cornerback or the corner wing back.
That's interesting, John. Good point, actually. Yeah. In the old days, you'd go into your position,
would you?
And
yeah,
you'd stand beside.
I often got a
who used to stand beside? Who stood beside
the referee, just in case anyone hit him?
I remember the late Paddy Shea and John McNally had it one year. It was typical that the backs would get a dunt in.
Oh, was it?
And
as in the backs would do the forwards or the forwards would do the backs?
The backs would get.
The forwards are better singers, Donald. The backs.
But there was nothing malicious about it. You just get a
welcome.
Welcome. Yeah. We're ready to go.
Yeah.
Wow, good stuff. That's why they put them all in the safety of themselves in the middle of the field. More comms coming in. Great to see them, of course. Sorry for Loud. They picked a bad day to play a very good Kerry team. I think that's probably, hit the nail on the head too. Loud probably better team than they were. Don't love listening to Terrace Talk again, since you are including your neighbours. We did you a big favour, and I hope you remember that. Also, poor Paddy Palmer, which I got a good few miles out of both results yesterday.
Absolutely
poor
Paddy. Yeah.
Both his teams won really yesterday, didn't they? I suppose going back to Cork again, Liam, we all know they're a proud county. We've been saying for years that Kerry need a good Cork team to come along.
Exactly, yeah.
The green shoots are certainly rising.
They are, and they have been there, Donald. We've often scratched our head, because if you look, even when we won the 5 in a row minor titles that time, probably the second best team that we played in all them years was Cork. So the footballers are there, like you said. They're a proud county, but we could never put our finger on what was wrong up there. But obviously they're starting to, like you said, there's green shoots starting to appear, and it's great, because we used to love the days when we go to the Cork Kerry matches, either players or supporters, and you'd have 30,000 there, and you'd be talking about it for the week before and the week after. Now, the last couple of years there hasn't been no buzz about it, no talk about it. So we'd love to get back to them days again, and I think they're shoving closer.
Yeah, the socks have certainly been pulled up a bit. Call from Tralee, John, just around the corner. Do Kerry have a home game for the quarter final? Answer that there, lads.
No, Crow Park. Yeah. Quarter finals.
It's a definite no, let's say.
Yeah.
No, John, it's a definite no, both those games. Because if Kerry had won yesterday, which they did, and if Cork hadn't won, John, we'd be in Killarney, and I can imagine the scramble for seats and tickets and, I suppose, rooms and everything over in Killarney. God, Cork really cost Killarney a few bob, Liam, didn't
they? That's no Munster final, and that's no preliminary round. So there's a lot of barrels of beer, I'd say, St. Killarney on store still.
God, I'm watching. Fair play to Cork. Kerry had a great game. Hope they keep it up. I hope they go all the way now for Sam. Thank you very much. Donald, that's not what I said outside the gate. Oh, here we go. I was outside the gate with a lot of people now.
I was too for a while.
I was only saying it was great to see Liam Brosnahan in the away game. That's Bob from Tralee.
Oh, Bob, no better man than Bob.
Yeah, fair play. Well, myself and Bob were there so early they wouldn't even leave us in.
I was behind you.
Yeah. Well, you drove in. Actually, it was funny, because when I was leaving early in the morning, and I left early in the morning, Liam Brosnahan was heading with his big van, with his name all over the side of it. You were going the other way. You were heading back into...
Oh, back to Farn. Yeah, I was dropping off the van, because all floods the day before, some of us have to work.
You made incredible time to get up here. Donal, what does the panel think of David's style of kicking for a penalty? Bob from Tralee. Yeah, it's the soccer style, isn't it? Is that where that's going?
They're great when they go in, but when they don't go in, they can be a bit of a flops, all right. But with the man that's kicking it, I'd have no fear. Even I'd say if he kicked it with...
But he has a soccer background too.
Yeah, he's a very good soccer player.
They can have high Donal, great performance and win by Kerry, but we can't get carried away going to face much stiffer opposition in the quarterfinals. A great win for the Kerry ladies too, and that's Charles, of course, up there in North Kerry. Yeah, you're dead right, Charles. It's only going to get tougher and tougher from here on in. Caller, is it fair that the Kerry Miners have to travel up to Offaly at the weekend to play on the same day that Monaghan are playing Kildare in Offaly? So that's obviously a double header. Is it fair? I suppose the venues are picked and that's the way it goes, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that happens with the Miners. I think it's happened down the years. And,
and I think we've got double headers down
the
years.
It's the look of the draw, really, and what teams are in. And, but I'd say Wayne and the lads won't mind where they're playing. I think they're on the crest of a wave.
And there'll be a bit of a buzz when there's a bit of a crowd playing. Yeah, young fellas will be looking forward to that now because there'll be a bit of excitement. And I do think that's something that, when we did change the age, taking it away from big occasions probably took a bit away from it.
Because
we'd always loved playing the All-Ireland semi-finals in Croke Park and the All-Ireland final in Croke Park.
Yeah.
Whereas now this is a big occasion for these young fellas.
I think, Liam, you're right. The big one is the final won't be in Croke Park.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's not
right.
Because some of these lads mightn't wear the Kerry jersey or an intercounty jersey anymore.
Yeah.
And their day in the sun is Croke Park and All Ireland final day. It's something you'll never forget.
Yeah.
I think it should be put back there, regardless of the age, and you'll fit it in at some time on a big match day, and you've played in Croke Park.
And supporters love that programme as well, where the minor team are in it, and in 5 years' time or 8 years' time, you're looking at the...
But if I've ever spotted Donal, even talking to supporters, they'll always say, "Actually, Donal Barry, he was a Kerry minor." They'll never say you were a Kerry senior. But they'll say you were Kerry minor.
Exactly,
everyone remembers a Kerry minor.
And just to clarify for listeners, I wasn't a Kerry minor. They wouldn't select me, it was all. I was from a small club. The rules of the competition are flawed, Donal. Kerry finished top and now are in Croke Park, and had they finished second, they were playing Clarny. I wonder which is better. What is better? Is it better that we go straight to Croke Park, or could we be done with another day out in Clarny, Liam?
I'd rather have gone to the route we have gone now. That would suit me if I was Jack, because you're getting that extra week.
The route Jack would have wanted to go.
That's the route, yeah. Because if you could have went into the draw this morning, you could be drawing Mayo, or you could have been drawn Galway, you know. So, Jack wants to get to Nara in quarter final, and that's where he wants to be. Plus, he has that week of a break now, so that'll suit a lot of needly injuries. Because I'd say Paul Gainey has a needly injury, Gavin White might get an extra week now, so it'll get bodies back.
Yeah, we'll get more into the chat now in a minute. But I mean, my God, I should never have asked Lee nicely out there, listeners, to send in comments, because they're certainly coming at 100 miles an hour. We never get out of here. Amazing effort by Kerry. It was great to see so many of them with smiles after the game, as they took time to chat with young kids. There was that real feel afterwards that all was right in the world, John. I mean, the crowd on the field, it was like, for all the world, it was like a club more than a county. Yeah. I mean, we were all back wearing the Kerry jersey again. It's amazing what a win and a couple of goals can do.
Oh, there's no doubt. And like, there's a great connection between the players and the supporters. And, you know, they weren't overcritical, the Kerry supporters, when we weren't going that well, because we're all Ireland champions, you know, you're dear after all this. But yesterday, I think there was an enthusiasm. We're back, and there was a statement. And you know, a lot of people I was talking, they felt sorry for Louth, that they were at the end of a battering from a Kerry team that was in form, and the things clicked for, you know. And look, it's brilliant, and there was a great buzz around. And even today, there's an expectation now that the form is coming
back
at the right time, and the sharpness is returning, do you know? Mm-hmm.
And just on that, Donald, before I go, I would say hello to a Kerry supporter who's a big fan of the show.
No, have one, have I?
You had, well, I call it number four because I had three last week. So, John Joe Young, he's actually a first cousin of Kit Ryan, the great Kit Ryan's Kerry supporter, and her daughter and herself travel up and down the country. And he said it made his day yesterday, Kerry winning. He got a photograph with Ambrose, and it topped off his day. He got a photograph of me at the end of the day.
Oh God,
it must have been delicious.
So he's going to tell his brother Gerard now in the UK about it as well. So,
Well, actually, speaking of great supporters, and I suppose young isn't the thing, but 93 years young is Pat Murphy, and they flew in from Chicago to watch the match. They couldn't miss out on the match in Port Leash. The great Kerry, of course, supporters. They travelled with his two sons and his two grandsons, and of course the family had to listen to Tim and Ambrose over in Chicago as well. And it's great to see so many people. I suppose we kind of forget that we have supporters of Kerry outside of Kerry. We get very narrow at times, but Mike in Rochester, New York, and we say hello to him when we can. Mike here again from Rochester, New York. Great win for Kerry, it was never in doubt. And what a draw to see Galway and Mayo meet each other. One good team will be gone before the quarterfinals, and it's great hearing you all on again. And what we will do is, after the break, we will talk about those quarterfinals, the preliminary quarterfinals, because Kerry's prospective opponent is going to come out of this bowl of things, and we'll have one look at that after the break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're listening to Terrace Talk. Donal Barry joined here, of course, with Liam and John. We're here till 7 o'clock. After 7, of course, we'll be talking about AFL, and from 7:30 we'll be talking about back to Kerry Leeds football. And of course, Marina Barry just around the corner, we'll be talking to her on her story. But we're currently talking about, I suppose, the hunt for Sam Maguire. But I have to fly through these comments because they're coming in 100 miles an hour, and I've always promised that I'll read them out. Some good, some bad. Here we go. Well done to Kerry team yesterday. Thought all the lads played very well. Big shout out there for our South Kerry man, Graeme O'Sullivan. He played a great game. Well, absolutely. And I didn't write that one myself, so.
He played well.
Ring of Kerry Cycles on the same day as Kerry versus Cavan. That's the ladies' game. That's going to make for interesting driving to Tralee for a 12:30 game. Yeah, well, you'll. God help us, I suppose you'll be there. The next poor person is looking to buy a ticket for the Kerry Cavan game, and I'd say if you check in there with the LGFA website, it'll come online. You can buy it online there as well. It was a good job the ladies use a buzzer, otherwise the ref would have played on indefinitely, as happens in often men's games. Well, I suppose with the buzzer and the clock stopping, it kind of dictates how much time is left, and actually the buzzer is out of the referee's hand as such, so that's happening by thing. John, you must have played against the great Teddy McCarthy.
I did, yeah.
You didn't line up on the sideline with him before Ron Levine or anything, no?
No. Teddy was a sad loss to the family and to the GA, but an incredible athlete, super hurler, great footballer as well. And marked him actually, believe, in a Munster final for about 15 minutes in 84, I think. And his feat, I suppose, in 91, winning two All-Irelands in 2 weeks was...
It'll never again be done.
Never again. Yeah. And he was off the field like most GA people. Like he was just a humble guy and, dedicated to his club and what a loss. Too young to go, really, but a legend of the game.
Yeah, huge legend, of course, gone before his time as well. Caller in, if it wasn't for Tiernan Ambrose, we wouldn't have a clue what happened in the game. They're a credit to the station. Yeah, absolutely. Is there any truth that Tiernan Ambrose are going out setting up their own radio station, I wonder? Could you imagine to be...
They nearly get the guards to escort Ambrose away, like David Clifford. There were so many around him.
Ambrose was certainly hauling him all in, absolutely. Caller, question for John, and this is a settle a bit, God almighty. Is Aaron Kennelly a nephew of Tim Kennelly?
He's son of Mike Kennelly, Councillor Mike Kennelly.
To give him his full title.
Yeah, another great prospect, and you know, it's something in the GA, when we were speaking about it yesterday, is the names that are coming through in all counties. And Kerry's no different. Another Kennelly in the stall, and one to watch out for.
Yeah.
No. And if you look at him quickly, you would know he's a Kennelly.
You would.
And of course, the father, Mike, if he's listening out here, you're a great umpire as well, Mike. Fair play to you.
Oh, there's a bit of history there, Jack.
That could be loaded, no, Mike.
I love going to the stall. A very unhappy Corriman. Well, I suppose we won't say very unhappy Corriman. You could have solved this problem now yesterday. But anyway, hi, Donald. Portlaoise is a hopeless venue for a game, trying to find a parking space and breakfast. But the match was a credit to both players and management. Give me Killarney any day, but I knew it couldn't be played there. And that's John from Cora. Well, John, I've all problems solved now. Next time, Liam Broston will drive you. he gets very handy parking spots outside the field. And I'm sure you know some breakfast spot as well on the way up.
No, that's one thing, all right, they were giving out about the shop yesterday. A lot of supporters. Now, I didn't get a chance to get down because Bob wouldn't leave me out of my seat.
The shop at the stand anyway was a disaster because it wouldn't cater for the crowd that was there, really.
Yeah.
There was a huge crowd, of course, in fairness to them. Hi, Donal. Congratulations to the Kerry men and women. The shadow boxing is over by now. Kerry allowed bore the brunt of it, but it's like caveat. We still don't know how Kerry are going to do until we meet a top team, and it's going to be straight through to the quarterfinals. Yeah, and let's talk about, we'll move on from the comments now. The quarterfinals, of course, they were announced this morning. Kildare, and of course, the preliminary quarterfinals, not actual quarterfinals. Kildare and Monaghan, Cork and Roscommon, Donegal and Tyrone, Galway and Mayo. And of course, John Kennedy, Galway and Mayo jumps off that sheet massively. One of them won't be in a quarterfinal, which is absolutely amazing because both of those teams were in first position yesterday, and one of them will be gone before they get to the last eight.
Yeah, it's incredible, and I think it shows, you know, I said it earlier on about the competitiveness of the four groups.
Yeah.
And, you know, particularly for Galway and Mayo, it was really turned upside down for them. A mouth-watering prospect. Galway have a few injuries. I think Sean Kelly went off.
Mm-hmm.
His participation will have a huge bearing on the game. Mayo, you know, they were in control against Cork, lost it. So it's, you know, their season is hinging on next weekend.
Yeah.
Huge game.
Mayo be very worried. I mean, both those games, they kind of... for Kerry, they managed to play the whole hour and plus with it, but in the last two games they kind of faded away. They faded away 2-0 as well, to be fair to them, and yesterday obviously to Cork. So I mean, there's a bit of work there. The 7-day turnaround as well for both those teams, Liam, that doesn't really help them, does it?
It doesn't, no. And that's why when we talked earlier, it was nice for Kerry to jump that step and go straight to a quarter final, because like whoever will come out of that Galway Mayo game, there's going to be sore bodies in that. You could pick up a couple of injuries, you're going into an All-Ireland quarter final the week after, you know, so it's a big game for him.
Big game as well for Cork and Roscommon. I mean, can Cork back up now what they've done? I mean, it's fantastic, we're all talking them up, we all think they're in a quarter final. Roscommon, I suppose, a bit disappointed they lost to Kildare by a point. They seem to have
they're a bit of a Jekyll Hyde kind of a team, Roscommon. You know, they can go out and they can be either very good or poor. There's no in between with them, so that'll be a close game, a close encounter as well. Because look, Cork are on a bit of a high, so
it's still a Division 1 team versus a Division 2 team.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So but are you looking at maybe a lower Division 1 team, really?
They came third.
Yeah.
They're finished higher than us, but I know what you mean. But Championship, of course, throws that out. Kildare and Monaghan, I mean, that's a free pass for either of those to get into the quarter final. John, where would you put your fiver there?
I think Kildare, you know, they're after turning around under Glenn Ryan. Yeah. You know, they had a few bad results. Monaghan, depending on that, and Conor McManus and McCadden, you know, can they do it? Kildare's victory yesterday, I think it's the momentum you get, like Cork, from the victory. I would fancy Kildare to take that
one. The only thing about it, they're not playing at home.
It's
on Tullamore. The thing of Newbridge and nowhere. They have nowhere to go.
Isn't it amazing that you're a county and you don't have a venue in your own county big enough to host a home game, and you have to go to the neighbours next
door? They're doing it up so they can play there. That's why. Otherwise it probably would be in Newbridge.
Newbridge or nowhere as well.
Would that be close to Croke Park? Like, I mean, surely they'd open Croke Park for them nicely.
Well,
after all they're giving out about it.
Yeah, exactly.
The last ones, Donegal and Tyrone, both our friends. Donegal, who seem to have an awful season, are still hanging around the place, and Tyrone, who started 100 miles an hour, looked vulnerable enough yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And I think, you know, the Canavans, certainly I think 14 points between them. They kicked. This is a tough one, and any Ulster game is difficult to predict. You'd imagine that the Tyrone should have enough, but Donegal have turned their season around for what looked like a disaster a few weeks ago. You know, they have a bit of momentum going, and it's good to see it.
And Donegal at home.
They'll
fancy a good lash of Tyrone, because they're not moving the way they were the last couple of years.
And Aidan O'Rourke, to be fair, he's come in there and he's steadied the ship. You know, there's a bit of a pep in the step again, and it's great. They're a great footballing county as well. Yeah. It's great to see them.
The only thing about it now, with the bigger teams, they know it's kind of last chance saloon here. So you'd be expecting maybe to step up a gear like we did the weekend.
Yeah.
Now you'll be kind of looking at Tyrone, maybe they'll say, right, look, we lose here today, we're out. Yeah. You know, so it's going to be an interesting.
Right, pins and collars, Kildare and Monaghan, John.
I think Kildare will win that one.
Liam.
I think Monaghan.
Oh, wow, good God. Cork, Roscommon.
I go for Cork.
John.
Go for Cork as well, yeah.
You do know the last time they beat a Division 1 team was when? I'm just testing them, listeners, they have no idea, I guarantee you. It was a sorrowful night above in Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
But it beat us in the Munster final.
So if they're going to beat another Division 1 team, it'll be Roscommon. Donegal and Tyrone, John?
Tyrone.
Ooh.
I'd be going Tyrone as well, yeah.
God, lads, you can have different opinions, like, it is okay. Galway Mayo should divide you, surely.
I'll go Mayo.
You're going.
I'll go Galway just to go against him, but I think it's going to be,
John Kennedy thinks last year's All-Ireland finalists won't make the quarter-final.
I don't think they will. I think that
the injuries.
And that was a disappointing result yesterday from against Armagh.
Yeah.
Huge win for Armagh, but, you know, Galway, they haven't kicked on, and the injuries, Damien Comer, question mark, Sean Kelly,
question mark,
and Shane Welsh not going well. Missed the penalty, confidence is down. I think Mayo, they're a wounded animal.
He's never been the same since he went to Dublin.
No, should never have gone.
We'll start him off again.
I'm up here now again.
Can't start him off again. We'll be at it all evening. Back to the question I was asked at the start of the evening, lads. As I said, everything worries the GAA fans, and the whole lot. Black cards worried them, Mark worries them, the whole lot. But the biggest thing that was worrying a lot of people about yesterday was No chalk ices. Huh? Can you imagine?
That's a disaster.
A disaster.
Yeah.
GAA's most traditional ice cream not being there. We got a PR from because
what's
I,
they going to say? The fellow that goes on with the chalk ices. He's going to change his wording now.
He's going to have to offer brunches or something. It says basically the ice lollies are no longer as popular as they were in the past, according to the company. A petition was started to save the ice cream, of course, and more than 7,000 people have signed at this stage. A spokesman for HB said that the company is sorry to disappoint chalk ice lovers with the discontinuation of this ice cream, but we have found it is no longer as popular as it was.
And what's the number one?
Does that mean, serious question, does that mean that the real genuine GAA fans are not going to matches anymore? It's a good question, like, because if you think about it, I grew up, I mean, the chalk ice man was the man at a match. It was probably the only time you ever got an ice cream. What are we going to eat instead of it? What's your ice cream of flavour, Liam?
I suppose we'll have a brunch now, or a Twister or something like that. But see, that's the younger generation now have a fancier probably ice cream now.
Probably don't eat ice cream.
A Magnum. You see, that's the younger generation. That's the most expensive ice cream you can get. You can't. You sure you couldn't buy a Magnum? You couldn't buy a Magnum at a football match. It cost you €10.
Magnum was Tom's. Yeah. So iceberger for our soul. He's an iceberger. The only Magnum was Tom Selleck. I mean, he wasn't an ice cream. So, where are you going with it? Guys, everybody's happy in Kerry. I mean, we won. Everything's great, the whole lot. Jack gets, a bit of sigh of relief, a breathing space, the whole lot. We've no game to look forward to next week. We've nothing to worry about. We can watch everybody else, the whole lot. But the real stuff starts in 2 weeks when the draw is made Monday week, John. Have you seen enough in this Kerry team, particularly in one game alone, to say, yeah, we're good and ready to defend our title?
We have the ability done. We've said that all along. It's just that we weren't firing. No injuries really serious. I think Gavin White and Paul Gainey, they're more precaution than anything. Didn't get an injury yesterday. Huge boost for the confidence. The 2 weeks is very important. And, you know, I think that we're up there. We're in the mix. You know, there's three or four teams, and I suppose Dublin are the other one that you're looking at. But we have the footballers. We showed it yesterday. Yeah. A golfing class. But the pace that we played at
was the championship pace.
Championship pace, yeah.
And there's only two games that we can get in a quarter final done, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. We can't play teams we've played before until the semi finals.
So it's either the winners of Kildare Monaghan or Donegal Tyrone in a quarter final.
So you must check your predictions. That means you have Tyrone booked in first, is it?
Tyrone, it's
and John is hoping to kill the air. You don't agree on anything, lads. You have to get better pundits. Finally, 10 seconds or less. Do you play Aussie Rules?
No, I never played it.
Would you have liked it?
Well, of course, we would like to, of course, maybe, but it's a different game. And look, the lads have gone out there, and well done to Mark O'Connor, milestone there at the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Liam, sure, you surely would have loved now, Aussie Rules game.
No, I would never played it, but like, amazed, John played knockery football for years, so that was the closest thing to Aussie Rules.
That was no compromise rules.
He would have been well able for us.
Good stuff, fair play. Listen, lads, thanks very much for joining us this evening. We'll catch up again in 2 weeks' time when we have plenty to do, but now we go straight to news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Hi Donald, Super Rocky Marina Barry's lining out tonight in Temple Knowe in round one of the County League. Absolutely. Well, I wouldn't be one bit surprised at all, and probably going to run the whole show herself as well. And you can listen. If you're not in Temple Knowe watching her play, you can certainly listen to us here on Radio Kerry. Maybe some of them can listen on the way up as well. We'll be listening to the Marina Barry Women in Sports feature from 7:30 this evening. But Changing Codes, joined by Jason Hinkson. Fingers crossed, he says, joins us in the studio now to chat about the AFL and the chances, I suppose, of setting up our own Kerry, I suppose I must say, franchise. That's a bit early yet, Jason.
That's
a bit early for that, absolutely. How about a team maybe in a club and we'll start all that? And he's after bringing in a fantastic Kerry jersey as well. It's gas, we've had Kerry cricket and we've had lots of other jerseys and a lovely, I suppose, Aussie Rules jersey as well. But just before we get going, I mean, you're not a South Kerry man, you're not a West Kerry man, kind of, maybe. You might have the passport for West Kerry. So you knew you were going to be West Kerry man. But where are you from originally?
I'm originally from far northwest Tasmania. In fact, the townland I'm from is called Irishtown, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And our football jersey is the green and gold as well, which is, you know.
Absolutely.
It's quite easy to go supporting Kerry then.
Yeah. briefly, tell us about Tasmania. I mean, I won't say the only Tasmanian knows the poor old devil in the cartoon and the whole lot, but talk to us about Tasmania and growing up and maybe the love of football and all that from that side of the world.
Well, like, Tasmania is about the same size as Ireland, landmass wise, 500,000 people, which, so it's very sparsely populated. Mm-hmm. And so footy there, it's pretty rough, it's pretty wild. One of the pitches that we play on is made of gravel, so
right. Imagine, oh wow.
You imagine playing Gaelic on a gravel pitch, Aussie rules, where you're getting driven into the ground. You wouldn't be diving for marks anyway, let's put it that way. And so yeah, like in Tasmania when I was growing up anyway, it was football, cricket in the summer, football in the winter, maybe a little bit of field hockey, but football was the number one game, and everyone over in Tassie just lives and breathes football. It's our game, we love it.
Of course, you have your teams and you have your own legends and you have all the players that went ahead and the whole lot. And it's interesting because I was reading today that of all the sports, Aussie rules is number one. I mean, it's the most watched, the most loved, it ticks all the boxes, and the most played as well.
It is, and like the attendance at one match in the AFL round would be equal to all of the NRL, the rugby league in Australia. The attendance is unbelievable. Like I went to the MCG, I was just home recently, went to the MCG and there was 95,000 people there.
That's amazing.
It was the second biggest game of the year, the Anzac Day game between Collingwood and Essendon. And I have to say though, 84,000 in Croke Park. I was at the All Ireland last year. The atmosphere was just as good, if not better.
You play in front of it as well. Absolutely, but we don't have 84,000 every weekend either, which is a thing. But it's huge, and I suppose a lot of Irish people, I suppose, particularly Kerry people, we talk about the AFL and Aussie rules and the whole lot. And of course, we're here tonight to talk to you particularly about what's happening here in Kerry and clubs and featuring and the whole lot. And to my surprise, there are actually people going out playing Aussie rules with Kerry jerseys or thereabouts at the moment.
Yeah, we've had a few matches. We started 2 years ago. Owen O'Sullivan, the current Irish Warriors, which would be the Irish men's team coach, asked me if we could start developing a team here, and we played in a nine-a-side competition in Dublin called the Festival of Footy, and we got to the semi-finals, and unfortunately we were beaten by Cork by a point, but right. Anyway, the Leaside Lions
have a bigger pick.
Yeah, so we were happy enough to make it to the semis on our first day out. Then we played a few challenge matches last year. We played a match in Killarney against the UCC Bombers because they were unable to travel to the Unis competition. And then on Holy Thursday at Easter, we played a match up in the Staxes home, Connolly.
Or Connolly Park, yeah.
Park, yeah. So we played
just
up there.
Connolly.
And again, we didn't get the win that day because we had to lend some of our most experienced players to Cork because they travelled a little bit light. But
all right, okay. We're always good friends with the neighbours. The nuts and bolts of a game. I mean, setting up a game, playing a game. I mean, you said it was 9-a-side. Obviously, it's a smaller version than what we see in the telly.
Well, there's sort of we've got two versions in Ireland at the moment. What we'll be playing on the weekend, which will be a 9-a-side format, on a rugby pitch. Mm-hmm. And we just sort of round off the corners to make it an over,
yeah.
Put in the two extra posts. And then the Premiership, which is the top level in Ireland at the moment, which is where we want to be, they play 14-a-side on a Gaelic pitch. And again, they just round off, I think it's from the 22?
Yes, yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah, yeah.
And round to the point posts on either end and put a little square in the centre. So there are two sort of formats, and then of course when you go to European, they do an 18-a-side competition, but there's very few grounds that can hold that. I think there's only one in Dublin.
Okay.
You need sort of almost a cricket pitch to play that on.
Yeah, we don't have too many of them for spare on your head.
No, that's for sure.
the game itself, I mean, I grew up watching it. I suppose we used to have this great programme on RT at the time, Sports Stadium, and it was on from maybe 12:30 to 6 o'clock, and sort of horse racing and football and the whole lot. And they had a segment for 20 minutes, particularly when the Irish boys went over first, Jim Steins, and you'd watch 20 minutes of Aussie Rules. And of course, we didn't really know what the sport was. It was, we were, I suppose, in twos. It was kind of rugby, and it was kind of football, and there was kind of tackling, and there was kind of pulling fellas to the ground, and that kind of enthused us. But then we had our own little hero, Jim White, up the road from this stall. Kerry footballer, 82, of course, played minor, and he went off, and he went off with Jim Steins and the whole lot, and that kind of lit the light, I suppose, for a while. But then, of course, we've had Ty Kennelly in between, and we have Mark O'Connor currently in the whole lot, and there is kind of a pathway there that you can get to Australia and play the highest level as well, starting off in football. But I mean, a lot of people don't want to go to Australia to play it. They just want to maybe, I suppose, sample it, play it for fun, play it for their first time, and that's who you're aiming really to find.
Like we like rugby guys who want to get fit for the summer, GAA guys, and anybody who wants to come along and join up. It's open for everyone, and like size isn't an issue. Like some of the best guys I've ever played with have been not very tall at all. Like you don't have to be fitness levels, you know, you can be various levels of fitness. It's open to anyone, really. Like and it's just actually people just don't know about us. That's the thing. Like they don't know that AFL Ireland exists, they don't know AFL Europe exists. There's a huge wider network. There's, you know, there's four men's teams in Ireland that played the premiership: Belfast, Redbacks, the Leaside Lions, Galway Magpies, and the South Dublin Swans. And then there's four women's teams to go with those teams. So you've got the Vikings from Cork and the Ulster Kookaburras, and then the Swans and Galway Magpies have women's teams as well. And so we're just... Then you've got the colleges. So there's four colleges that now play men's and women's. You've got UCC... MTU Cork, Queen's Belfast, and then a mixed universities in Dublin. So I think it's like Trinity and DCU and UCD and all those sort of combined together. And they have the men's and women's teams as well. Now, what would be great if we could get into the college here, you know?
Absolutely.
Truly, I'm sure.
Well, it would be a happy hunting ground, because I mean, obviously, I mean, at that level, they're the age group. First of all, they're all fit, I suppose, the ones that are involved in sport. And again, it's to sample a new sport. It's a different sport. It's something that you see on telly, and I suppose we all would think that we could play it. Is it easy to start playing it?
It is. Like, it just, once you get your head around the rules, and like to me, and there's like plenty of other guys that play with us, and like. Tiger's cousin Dennis, he actually plays with us, and like we'd be teaching him how to kick. We'd be teaching him, you know, like there's another guy, Connor. He and Cahill, they've got a lot of experience. Like Connor, he was the captain of the UCC team that won the European Universities Cup this year, and he's actually won four Universities Cups. So wow. Like he's from the Stole, I think. So
yeah.
There's plenty of experience, and like it's just teaching you the rules, and like we've got a lot of experienced guys that would be able to guide guys into, you know, teach them how to kick, teach them the hand pass, just yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Come here, we will talk a little bit more about the actual rules and the passing, because obviously the ball is different. It's like a rugby ball, but obviously it's not a rugby ball either. And maybe even we might chat about some of Mark O'Connor's experiences and the whole lot, and what it means to have a Kerry Phil playing as well as that. So what we'll do now is we'll take a quick break, and we will be back to you shortly.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Donal Byrne here till 8 o'clock this evening. I'm in the company of Jason Hinkson, who is kind of a half a Kerry man and half of a Tasmanian at this stage. He's lived in both places pretty much the same, and what we're trying to do, I suppose, is get the word out there that Kerry has an Australian Football League team, an Aussie Rules team, and of course we're looking for people to sign up and play and the whole lot, and it's quite amazing actually the amount of clubs and I suppose sports that are in around the county, and you never know, you might be listening to Terrace Talk and saying, listen, I play that over in Australia, I'd love to give it a go again, and it's a very open door. Anybody who thinks they can play, Jason, off they go with you.
That's it, no experience required. We'll show you the ropes. So yeah, no, it's Yeah, it's just to get the word out there, basically.
Yeah. And of course, you're preparing for a big enough competition in Killarney, which is on everybody's doorstep next weekend.
So yeah, we've got the round one of what we call the Tier 2, which sits underneath the Premiership, and it's developed clubs like us. Mm-hmm. So it's a nine-a-side competition, and we've got four teams travelling. There's two teams coming from Cork, the team coming from Galway, and a team coming from Dublin. And it's a short and condensed format, so we're going to play each team once. So you'll actually play the equivalent of a full game of footy. Mm-hmm. So it'll be 10 minutes halves each game. So you're getting 80 minutes of football there across the whole day. And it's a competition to develop the teams like us that are starting up. You know, it's very hard to get 24 guys to travel around the country unless you've got a good stock of players, because so every bloke's going to have something on each weekend. You know, you'll have some guys will have, you know, club football, or there'll be some guys. So you're not going to have the full amount.
You need a big bank of players. You need a
lot of players to and that said, they'll all turn up for the final.
I think this is
the Kerry thing, you know. Oh, the final, yeah, we'll go to that.
That's everything from under 10s up, don't worry. That is the Kerry thing. But it must be exciting. I mean, you're obviously the host venue in that sense that they're coming to Kerry to play it. Is a lot of preparation going in for it?
We do a bit of training and stuff. Like, we've got training on Wednesday night up at the complex at 8 o'clock. So, yeah, if anybody wants to come along, they're more than welcome. But yeah, even on the weekend, if you can't make Wednesday night, come on the weekend. The games kick off at 1, but I'll be there from probably about 11:30 onwards, setting up the pitches and stuff like that. And the other guys will be around early as well. So if you turned up and was interested in playing,
mm-hmm. you get a chance to turn up and watch it anyway.
Even watch it and
say,
you know,
God, yeah, I think I could do that, or God, yeah. I think I couldn't do that at all.
Like, I took a young lad from Arte and my Canadian brother-in-law to a game in Cork. Knew nothing about it. I literally showed him a YouTube video. I think it's called This Is AFL.
Right.
And they turned up. They got, every time they got the ball, they got tackled. I think the young lad got two or three kicks off, but that was about it. I sat in the car thinking, oh,
he's going to be dead.
That was amazing. Like, oh, when's the next game? Like, they loved it straight away. So it's, you know.
There is a great buzz to it, of course. I mean, and you mentioned about getting the tackle off and the whole lot. Speaks about the nuts and bolts, people listening here this evening. We watch a bit of it on the telly, but roughly the idea of it, we see the three posts and you get 6 points and you get 1 point. But primarily, you win ball, you move the ball on, you try not get tackled, really.
It's very similar to GAA in that way. You know, it's a very similar game. As if we have the tackle and we have the mark. And the other thing is, when you get tackled, you have to release the ball. So you need to be either able to hand pass it or knock it out of your hand with your fist or kick the ball. I think Oisin Mullins,
in his
first game,
he
first touched the ball on the big stage. He got tackled, got done for holding the ball, and then the opposition kicked a goal against him. So
that was wrong, it was a steep learning curve.
Absolutely.
But I suppose it takes a while, I suppose, to acclimatise to it as well. And it's interesting, you Oisin Mullins, because there is more and more, I suppose, there's more and more ladies going playing it, because that has really started that tournament. I mean, Cora Staunton went at the start, but there's been this huge amount of players going. And a fun fact for you, because you were mentioning the college, getting into the college, but the girl Ailish Considine, she's won two of them now at the moment, right? But she went to college up here in Tralee IT, because I had her on a football team, and it was amazing because she's the only lady to have won two of them already, and she's actually more than most of the men have won, and she was there. But there's a lot of women going over, and I suppose they're experiencing the life and the whole lot. But from the men's perspective on the team at the moment, this would suit kind of fellas that are, I suppose, maybe retiring a small bit from football, or
they could be, or they could just be young lads who just, you know, want something different. There is opportunity for every sort of type, style of guy that wants to come along, and girl.
Yeah.
Like, ultimately, like, we'd like to have a men's and women's team. Like, there's currently, I think, there's five girls who have playing for Ireland and the Vikings in Cork.
Yes.
So, from Kerry, so like there's already girls in Kerry playing the game. but they're just playing for Cork.
Yes, and they'd come home with a team though. Hopefully.
And the women's game has just exploded. The women played the European Championships, which is the 18 aside, the big mm-hmm. one in Zagreb last year, and they hold the record for the highest score in an AFLW game against Croatia. They beat Croatia. It was a cricket score.
Yeah.
I think it was 350 or something to nil. It was just insane. And the men won that. The Irish men won that competition as well for the first time in 10 years.
Yeah. Wow. It's funny that you say about the leagues, because I remember in 2006. It was the first time ever there was a compromise rules for ladies. It was played here in Ireland. Two games. The first game, Ireland won it 40-15. The next game, they won it 135 to absolutely nothing at all. And two fun facts on that. The captain was from Kerry, Sarah O'Connor, back from Port Magee. And the manager was Jarlett Burns, who was going to be the new GAA president. So, I mean, he certainly would open up for the whole thing. But a lot of people kind of grew up watching compromise rules. Then they kind of got the whole Ireland versus Australia, the whole thing. Were you up late watching that, or were you saying it was kind of a hybrid game?
No, I would have went to Dublin a few times to watch it. I think I went the one that was the battle on the pitch.
A bit of a fight, was it?
The one where Akamenis might have taken out a few lads.
He was flying at the time. But then again, that's the kind of, I suppose, that's what we see on TV, and that's the stuff that we like to watch. But the game itself isn't that at all. I mean, the game itself is an active game. You get the ball, you move on, you avoid the tackle. Kicking the ball, how do Irish people adopt that easily? Because it's not that easy, is it?
It takes practice. You need the ball in your hand, you need to be kicking. Rugby guys tend to pick it up a little bit quicker because they're used to that sort of shape, but the kicking is something like that. Again, like I work on one evening, I was working with one lad, and by the time he was kicking dead straight, you know.
Okay.
So it's just practice and just getting used to getting the ball in the hand and releasing it to the foot
and getting it off.
Yeah.
Come here to me. We'll wrap it up. But basically, what day with Saturday, is it?
Saturday at 1 o'clock we kick off.
And it's above in the Clonie Rugby Club?
It is, yes, Clonie Rugby Club.
And I noticed that you brought in, very modestly, a fantastic-looking Kerry jersey.
Yeah, I actually need to give a shout-out because basically the jersey, we set up the club, and I got a phone message out of the blue from a guy called Michael Finn from he lives in Melbourne, but he's a Stacks man originally. He played under 21s for Kerry. He was like, I'll sponsor a set of jerseys, put my company logo, which is Kingdom Construction, on them. And I'm like, you sure? Like, you're going to get no business. So if anyone's listening from Melbourne, look Mick up in Kingdom Construction. But yeah, he's an absolute gentleman and an absolute beast of a football player. He's like one of the greatest non-professional AFL players Ireland's ever produced. He was on the International Cup, which Ireland's won twice. He has been on the All-Star, the team of the tournament, 2005, 2008, 2011, 2014.
Wow.
So he's just the
ghost. Yeah, isn't that brilliant? But isn't it brilliant too that, you know, you have somebody who literally grew up around the corner here, willing to like you said, no connection with it, but it's Kerry and it's my colours, and obviously his kingdom, he get his name on it as well, which is fantastic. But that must be hugely encouraging. I mean, that must have been a great moment when that message came through to you.
Oh yeah, it was. Like, you know, yeah, I know his sister very well, so I was like, do you think he's serious? And she goes, yeah, he's definitely serious. He's just one of those guys. He's just very generous, really nice guy. So yeah,
and he might come home and play for you.
Well, he did come home for the game in Connolly. He's an absolute mountain of a man, hands on him like shovels, and just these poor Cork boys were just getting bowled off the pitch.
The job. Listen, Jason, it's fantastic catching up with you. Mark O'Connor, I mean, just quickly on him, of course, I probably started off to set up and talk about Mark. Of course, he had his 100 professional one. I mean, it's a unique thing to get 100 AFL caps and games, is it?
Oh yeah, it is, like 100 games. It's like, you think about I think the home and away season runs for 24 games, and there's a bye round in one, so you're probably 22-23 games,
okay,
so it's going to take you 5 years to
to get it.
To get to that. And, you know, like, unfortunately, the Cats didn't get the win on for that game, but Mark playing at a halfback kicked a goal and got 18 possessions. That's pretty good. Like,
yeah. And what we'd say, you have friends over to watch it, obviously, in Australia. What do they? What's their view of the likes of Mark Connor or Ty Kennelly? The legacies these players come in and leave behind them.
Very high regard. Like they're you know, especially Zach. Like Zach is three games off topping Jimmy Steins.
Oh wow.
I think Jimmy Steins is like, I think I had it down here somewhere.
And it's Zach Tui, of course, you're talking about.
Zach Tui, yeah. So Jimmy Steins was 264 games, and Zach is at 262. So three games, and he'd be the most capped Irish player ever. And that's a big achievement.
Yeah. And of course, it's competitive at the highest level, and that's keeping yourself fit and injured and in form as well, because I'd imagine you get dropped as well quite quickly. I mean, it's about winning, and I suppose. Pierce Henley was another man that cropped up on the lists every now and again. I mean, he was another big player as well. Surprisingly enough, though, for all the Irish fellas that are going over, in inverted commas, there's still a small enough of them to have made it through.
It's, I think, 13 have been that have been capped this year, and I think it's around 30 of the women that'll be when the AFLW season kicks off. So yeah, it's not that many.
Like, exactly,
there are guys playing VFL. Like, I think Stefan
Cumber,
he was sort of, he never made it through, and I think Padraig Lucy was another guy, which it's unfortunate. Like,
they all come and go as well. Of course, well, Stefan's injured at the moment, but he's playing with Nagail, and Padraig Lucy, of course, is back with Legion. He's flying around the place with Clarion Legion. I suppose one positive, one negative, they all measure out. Listen, Jason, the very best of luck. If you're around Killarney, anywhere in around Killarney, 1 o'clock, Killarney Rugby Club, next Saturday. The Kerry team, obviously, we're wearing the green and gold jersey.
Check us out on Facebook or Instagram, Kerry Sons.
Kerry Sons.
Kerry Sons.
As opposed to rain, is it?
Yeah.
Were you being ironic with the name, were you?
We were promised a set of Gold Coast Suns jerseys, and it never.
Oh, stop!
So we had the name, so we stuck with it.
Well, in fairness to it, I suppose for the last 5 or 6 weeks, we've had plenty of sun. It was fantastic to watch. Listen, the very best of luck to you with it. We look forward to, and you know what? We might catch up at the end of the year, and you can tell us how you're getting on the project and the whole lot. If there's any bit of help we can give you at all, we'll give you a couple of shout outs. It's great that you could join us here this evening. But for now, we'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now it's time to catch up on our Women in Sport feature, and this week's is Marina Barry from Tralee.
This documentary was produced by Connie Broderick and Joe McGill. It was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.
I didn't know first whether I would be able to make it to such a stadium and fulfil a dream, I suppose, because I was just a little girl who used to kick the ball off the gable wall. And when you see the likes of Kerry playing Dublin, that's where I wanted to be.
In this episode of Women in Sport, we hear the story of Marina Barry Walsh. A native of Tralee, the Austin Stacks clubwoman played a pivotal role on the Kerry ladies team of the 80s and 90s, and is regarded as one of the most prolific forwards to ever play the sport.
I was brought up in Rock Street, Kevin Barry's supermarket, my dad's premises, and my dad played as well with the club hurling football, so I suppose there was only one direction I was going to go. I do remember sitting in the sitting room watching, I suppose, the Kerry Dublin contests, and just seeing my own teammates from Austin Stacks, Gerard Power, John O'Keefe, Mikey Sheehy. That was the place I wanted to be if I ever got to play football, because when I was watching it at the time, there was no actual football for ladies in the club. The only thing that would have been available to us really would have been maybe basketball in school. So that would have been from, I suppose, when you were 12, 13. Prior to that, there wasn't really anything available, but I used to play in the street with my brother Kevin. My brother Kevin played for Stack Seniors as well. He's at County Championship. So I was his shadow, I suppose, up till about 11, 12. And we used to play soccer across the road. So I learned my graft really from street ball, kicking the ball off the wall and catching it over and over again. So that's where my story began, really, from playing on the street.
In the late 70s, Austin Stacks established the Ladies Gaelic Football Team, joining the fledgling Ladies Gaelic Football Association.
The ladies team was formed in Austin Stacks Club. The team got together, and it was young and old, because there was only one team. So I probably would have been 12 or 13, pretty young, and it was one or two younger as well. But that was such a moment for me, because it was like all your Christmases came at once. Here was my chance. First of all, there was a man called Moss Carroll, who we were lucky to have. He trained us. There's lots of names, and generally I just don't like leaving names out, but he was there from the beginning. And when I was in school, in secondary school, there was a lady called Helen Dowling, and she used to make sure that she'd get as many people up to training, you know, after school, make sure you're up there. So you need that type of person too, you know. It's not about the people just playing the game. It's the people who bring it together. That's a huge task. So Helen Dowling was one of the ones. And, you know, she would really, you know, push you and encourage you to be there. So I suppose I had done the hard work with the basic skills, you know, hanging around my brother and his friends around in Rock Street. And it just happened to evolve, and we just seemed to develop with the training and with each other. You know, it just seemed to naturally progress.
Prolific sharpshooter, Marina's talent didn't go unnoticed. She was soon lining out in the green and gold.
I was part of the winning team between 80 and 81, and a lot of that minor team then formed the nine in a row, the backbone, I suppose. It was the clubs who you represented, and they put you forward. But I remember going to training sessions, right, and being maybe selected for the team. But I was quite young, so I had to sit and watch for a while. I do remember maybe getting my first break. A lot of the games we played were in fields, I suppose, or locations that I'd never even heard of, like, you know. So I remember being somewhere pretty remote, and I got the chance to get on, and I was fairly nervous, all right, you know, because you're watching the game, you want to be in there, but I was still young. But I got a chance. One of the Castle Island girls, I think, came off, and I got a chance to come on, and I'd say I must have done okay, because I think I got a start maybe after that. I just played every game as it came along. 1982 was the first year that we started the nine in a row. It was, I think, in Nina. I just remember that mainly for the weather. It was such an incessant day of rain, the clouds, it was black. There wasn't any great, I suppose, advertising or great crowds at it. But I mean, we were there, families were there, and it was a great win. The next year I was in sixth year, 1983, I was sixth year in school. I was captain. We'd obviously won the club, and I was put forward for captaincy, and so I do remember that. I think that was in Kilsheelan in Tipperary against Wexford. You know, vaguely remember that, obviously getting the cup, but there was no big occasion about it until 1986, when we got to play in Croke Park, which, as I said earlier, it was where I had seen, you know, what it was all about from the television in the 80s game contest between the men's and Dublin and Kerry. And we eventually got there. Now, the crowds were nothing like they are nowadays for the girls, which is great to see. But for me, I felt, you know, I had got to where I wanted to go, the journey that I wanted to, the summit of my career that I wanted to get to. That was it for me. And the bonus, obviously, was that we actually went on to win it. So for me, I suppose that is the big one. 1986, I think it was, Croke Park. That's just the way it started for us, and it has evolved so much now that it's great to see support and the media coverage. So it's growing, professional and pay and things like that. So yeah, it's great to see the development, and that it's getting there for the girls as well.
Come on, girls, you're pushing off the ball.
I suppose it came from the club scene because there were four or five clubs between Austin Stacks, Abbey Dorney, Artford, maybe Castle Island, Beaufort. We were very competitive at club level. Those games were fairly, you know, helter-skelter. Everyone just wanted to, you know, every game was so intense. Nobody wanted to lose. Nobody wanted to lose that first ball that you were going for. So I suppose that drove on then into the Kerry setup. Even though, you know, it was helter-skelter in the club, you still, when you came together, everyone rolled the same way, you know, put the sail up and went in the same direction. So with the guidance of Mick Fitzgerald, who was our manager for many years of that nine in a row, with his guidance, as I said, and our intuitive kind of understanding of how we played and just let the ball go, we just were lucky, a lucky bunch that seemed to gel very well together.
Following an unprecedented nine in a row, Kerry found themselves in an unfamiliar position when they lost to Waterford in the 1991 Munster Final in Listowel.
We had won the nine in a row from 82 to 90 and going on to the 10th, losing that one to Waterford and Listowel, it was kind of like, did that really happen? That doesn't usually happen. Usually we can pull it out of the bag. So when you lose, you really want to get back again. We desperately wanted to and tried for three years, and I think it was 93. We played Waterford, who were a huge team, great respect. They were unlucky they were in the same province as us, because if they hadn't been, I would have had no doubt that we would have played them in the All-Ireland, you know. They were so good, and, you know, we scraped by once or twice. So we had done the nine in a row. We were looking to get back and maybe give it one last and see if we had it. So it was on in Fitzgerald Stadium. We were playing Waterford, and it was point for point. I'd say the whistle was about to blow, and we were drawing, and somebody popped me the ball. It was a little further out than I usually would go for it, but I knew time was of the essence, and whatever way I connected with the ball anyway, it was one of the sweet ones, and it went over and we won. Whistle was blown nearly straight away, and that was the Munster final of 93. So it took us a few years to get there again. When you lose, you really want to get back again. And we put the shoulder to the wheel and, you know, we got there. We'd put in a lot of time, so a lot of people then decided, you know, they had their time. I stayed on for a few more years. But yeah, absolutely, the 10th was special because you had lost and you wanted to prove a point.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now back to that second part of that feature with Marina Barry of Tralee. Interesting, really, really interesting feature this evening. 10 times All-Ireland winner and 5 times All-Star. And she's actually playing this evening, believe it or not, below in Timpano. But now back to part two.
Regarded as one of ladies football's greatest players, Marina Barry Walsh was a mainstay of the Kerry team in the 80s and 90s. A winner of 10 All-Ireland senior medals and 6 All-Stars, Marina retired from intercounty football after relocating to Dublin, ending nearly 2 decades of service with the county.
I had moved to Dublin working, so when you move away and the travel becomes just a bit too much, it just takes its toll. So, yeah, I think it was living in Dublin, because I actually played all my club with Austin Stacks except for 1 year when I was in Dublin. The travel just became too much, so I played a club with Portobello. And there was a lot of Kerry girls in Dublin. We were working there, and like that, I think the men were the same with Miola Murherty. Whoever was based in Dublin, my husband used to train with them out in UCD, and you'd have the likes of Jack O'Shea, and a lot of the time they'd have a mix of different counties. They'd be working in Dublin, so they'd go out to Miola, they'd train. And we had something similar with Eileen Lawler. Her husband, Brendan Dardis, used to train us up in Phoenix Park, but that was just the Kerry setup. And we'd have maybe one or two from Leitrim, and we'd all train up in a public park. There could have been 15 of us from different counties. So we couldn't commit to home anymore. People just said, look, can we play Portobello? About 5 of us ended up playing with Portobello. So there was Eileen Lawler, Mary Jo's sister Phil Kern, myself, Fionnuala Rowan. So it was kind of like a little bit of the Kerry team with a club team in Portobello, so signing off from Stags was hard for me to let go, but it wasn't possible anymore to, you know, to commit too much going up and down. So I had a daughter as well in Dublin, Cuiva, so stuck with Portobello, and they hadn't even won maybe in the county, so for us to get to the All-Ireland final, but lost to Ballymacarbery, which are the Waterford team. Most of their players come from there. So yeah, it came down to travel really more so than anything else, you know. Yeah, so I played with them for a season and then I moved home. Family commitments and having kids just made us think about moving home, so that was good for us.
Marina completed her collection of championship medals in Kerry with junior, senior and intermediate honours as Austin Stacks won the intermediate championship in 2017. Marina kicked 4 pints on the day, but more remarkably, her daughter Kiva played alongside her.
I think it was up in Stranraer against Nagaile. It was a very competitive game, and to come out the winning side of that was huge. A very entertaining game. To have Cuiva was definitely special, you know. But everybody on that team is as important as the next. But yeah, it's nice. I suppose I don't dwell on it. I just keep playing, and it's one game is the same as the next. But I just know the people are changing. The people are getting younger for sure. And then playing with Cuiva, I suppose that's you know, unusual. That's nice too. But yeah, it's nice to think that I could, you know, achieve that with Cuiva. And yeah, I'm just delighted that she's still playing, because a lot of girls drop out between under 14, under 16. So for her to actually still be playing is huge. And I think I'm more proud that she still has hung in there. And it would be nice if we could keep more girls in the game. I'm delighted that Cuiva is still there. And yeah, she's well able for the game.
As ladies football continues to grow at an extraordinary rate, what does Marina think of today's game?
You can see it in the sense of the gym work, the nutrition side of things. They're definitely doing a lot more training. We probably did 3 times a week, whereas nowadays they're probably doing it 5 days a week, if not more. So it is gone to another level. Has the game itself changed? If you were to put the Kerry team of the 9 in a row against the Kerry team now, it would be hard to say, but the skill level, a lot of the girls in our team, Mary Jo, for example, just, you know, the skill levels there were huge. Whereas now I think it's more pushing towards athleticism, strength and conditioning, all that. That's gone to another level, whereas I think we had definitely competitiveness, which is there to date for sure, but skill level, it is improving. But yeah, it's just, I suppose it's nearly 24 hours 7 days a week nowadays, and nutrition and being the physical fitness is huge, so that's changed.
Sport has been a huge part of Marina's life, and her love for it is shared by her family.
The club is everything. It's a family. My dad played, my brother played, my sister Anne, my sister Sarah. I think she was a supporter. She was dragged along, but she's more a rock star. John would have played way back in the 80s as well. 86, I think, is he was on the 1986 winning team. Yeah, both of us just enjoyed football, always played. Never really thought about it too much other than that, yeah, we're both very sporty. Cuiva, as I said, plays. My son Dara plays as well. And yeah, there's a lot of critique there. We mightn't agree on everything. But yeah, we all just enjoy the team training. I think sport in general, it's good for any person to have a bit of sport, whether it be, you know, horse riding, tiddlywinks, marbles, you know, whatever it is, sport is great. It's great for the body and mind, and it has stood us the test of time. And like that, we, you know, each to their own. Some might be less competitive than others, but yeah, the family, you know, have enjoyed sport, and you know, it's great watching them grow and watching them stay fit and keep active, I suppose, at the end of the day.
In recognition of her contribution to Kerry Ladies Football, Marina was awarded the Lifetime Commitment to Kerry LGFA Award.
All of us who played with Kerry way back in the 9 in a row and, you know, went on to win the 10th, we're all very shy about our accolades. So when you hear, you know, there's an award and they want to honour you and you're kind of going, is there anybody else? Maybe, you know, there's somebody better than me. So I suppose we find it hard to say thank you and, yeah, I did okay. So obviously it's a huge honour. I don't think about it too much. I'm a bit shy in that, you know, area. I just think we're lucky to be able to, get out every day, get up every day. So, yes, it was a huge honour and I should learn to accept that and to be appreciate, yes, that I've done a bit. But it's only when you look back that I actually think at the time when you're playing one game, you're playing the next game, and then the years roll and then the decades roll. And yeah, so when I look back, which I don't do too often, that's when I might think, yeah, you've been on some journey here, and pat yourself on the back. My family will tell you that I prefer to critique myself than to accept that, yeah, you've done well, you've done okay.
Marina continues to play for her club, Austin Stacks, nearly 50 years after first making her debut. The sport provided her opportunities, medals and personal accolades. However, it is the friends and memories she made that she treasures the most.
From 1977 to now, the people, the losses, the rain, the muck, the whole club, Austin Stacks Club, if I hadn't had that, I wouldn't have been able to come out of myself, express myself. And it's not even the winning, it's just the ups and downs, the community that's there, the people again, being able to turn up, being able to kick the ball around. I suppose now that I'm a little bit older, it's just any time you can get out, kick around. Some people don't even want to play the game, they just want to be, you know, helpers around. So for me, it's just having the club there to support you and being there for the likes of, you know, being there for Quiva. I've come and met some wonderful people who have come and gone through those many years, and and I still enjoy going to the games. So for me, it's just a huge family community. Austin Stacks have given us the opportunity to play, to be there for one another. I mean, at the end of the day, football was everything for me. I'm only beginning to reflect because I suppose I'm still playing and I don't want to think. I don't really know what I'm thinking. Maybe I don't want to think. Maybe I just want to live in the moment. I just seem to be drawn to it. During the week, it's just natural for me to, you know, get the boots, go up to the pitch. I think I'll have to keep doing something just to keep the joints oiled. But it just seems to be magnetism. And Quiva's going there too, so I suppose, yeah, I'm happy, you know. Family is everything, and this is another family. You know, I have my immediate family, and the sporting is another family. So I've been lucky. And health and happiness may continue.
There you go, the fabulous Marina Barry Walsh. Give her a full title, Marina Barry, to everybody else, of course. 10 times All Ireland, 5 times All Star, still playing. And the word family she uses, absolutely, doesn't it join us all together in all sorts of aspects of sport? Well, keeping it in the Radio Kerry family, up next it is Mary Conroy with Talks Us. She's laying out her plans there as we speak. Did you know she joined Facebook? Let's go on, give her an old follow there on Facebook. New time there. Keane, thanks very much this evening. Don't know if he'll be here next week. We didn't even talk about the soccer, we didn't even get a chance to watch the soccer. And thanks to John and Liam at the start. And if you're around Killarney on Saturday, 1 o'clock, get over to the rugby field and support the Kerry Kingdom Sons, Kerry's AFL team. And we will do all this again next week, please God.